Well, joining me now here in the Skyline studio, the Allstate Skyline studio, is the Republican leader of the Illinois House, Jim Durkin from Western Springs. Leader Durkin, thank you for joining me this
morning. Good morning, Rick. It's great to be here in your new studios. This is quite a view. Breathtaking, and it's very clean up here, too.
I was going to say, you were most impressed by the cleanliness factor, I think.
And the budget has been increased, as I saw you had some Danish outside, front cut up into little squares. So
No, that actually, that was Dave Schwann. So that okay. That came out of his pocket.
No, glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for allowing me to attend your fundraiser last week in Chicago. Reince Priebus, former Republican National Committee chairman, former chief of staff to Donald Trump. An interesting choice of a keynoter. And Priebus has always been kind of had an interest in Illinois and Chicago.
Interesting is how I like to have my events. I've had some interesting keynotes over the last 3 years. Governor Walker from Wisconsin, Governor Kasich from Ohio, and Governor Ricketts from Nebraska. And I think it's important just to have somebody who's fun, somebody who's interesting, somebody who's topical. And Priebus, I have friends of friends, and I thought he'd be interesting to give a perspective on the lay of the land. But, you know, this is a person that he was the 21st chief of staff to the president of the United States, and I just thought it'd be interesting. And it's a fundraiser, too, so, you know, that this is the type of person that will, you know, generate some interest in people who will write checks.
It helps when, like, Bob Woodward has a book out.
Too. At the same day, the timing was uncanny, because the day in which the book was released was the day in which he was in Chicago for my event.
Is there a Trump factor in state legislative races?
Downstate Illinois, there is. I wouldn't say so much in the suburbs. People are focused in, I think people in the area they can distinguish between Washington, at least up in the collars, and also in the burbs where I'm at. I think that it's an issue, but people are more focused on what's happening with the governor's race, the legislature. Downstate Illinois, I will say that there is a large Trump factor, and they're very, very protective and very supportive of the president, and that bodes well for our candidates downstate.
How does that manifest itself, that when you say that? I mean, is it's
very strong on immigration. I'm just looking at the trends of the way that Illinois has been over the past 10 years, in which Southern Illinois was always a very strong Democrat area.
Although it was conservative Democrat.
But those conservative Democrats are voting Republican these days, you know, on gun rights, on issues of choice, taxes. It seems like it's more pronounced down there and leaning strongly on the Republican side. So we've got to be able to thread the needle in the different districts, but right now our issue is the focus is going to be on the state budget and the way in which things have been handled for decades under Mike Madigan, and also Emil Jones, Janet Cullerton, but also, you know, what does J.B. Pritzker do for Illinois, and how is he going to change the status quo? So that is what's getting the attention of people up here for us.
You know, when you look at those suburban areas, and we've obviously seen kind of a evolution in the demographics, in politics to some extent. I mean, I do remind people about how the collars in the presidential, all except McHenry, voted for Hillary Clinton in the general election.
Correct.
And to me, that also kind of, as far as suburban voters, I think one of the big keys is, and always has been, basically, is moderate suburban women, socially moderate suburban women. And I think that's going to be an even more important factor this year. I mean, back in the you used to call them soccer moms, you know, I think. But I think, truly, I think they're going to be a more defining group this time.
They are, absolutely. My caucus, when we get into issues that, you know, that are volatile, whether it's Second Amendment rights or it's issues regarding choice, I mean, we don't take caucus positions. We, you know, I talk to my members, and we kind of just kind of feel them out about where they're at on a particular issue, and just kind of think of what this vote could mean this next cycle. So I think we've done a very good job of trying to at least manage our members and having their votes kind of define the area that they live. I mean, this is part of my job, and it is. But you know what? I think that we're positioned well in many of our seats to capture, I think, those soccer mom votes. While a lot of them think about Trump, a lot of them also think about the Speaker of the House. Sure. And that is when we knock on doors, that is a question that is brought up, independent doors, Republican doors, Democrat doors, and the status quo of Springfield. That is almost overwhelming, more so than you hear about on the Washington level.
Just to go back to the diversity level and stuff, and obviously, you know, it's not easy to lead in a diverse state, and governors know that, legislative leaders know that. But are we getting to the point in our politics where diversity, which I always viewed as a great asset, are we to the point in politics where diversity may be a bad thing when it comes to the regionalization in the state?
I don't think so. I mean, you have to adapt and to...
I mean, I never thought we'd get concealed carry, a law, actually, given the vast differences.
Well, I never thought we would either, but the fact is we didn't have a choice based on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and the consequences of us not enacting a concealed carry law would have had a dramatic effect upon our gun laws. But, look, this is a process that is ever-changing. And we have to... assess. We have to make adjustments with candidates, their communications, and diversity is good, but it forces us to have to really think hard about what's important for people in the state, in our region, in our districts, and that's ultimately is what we have to do as legislators. But also, this is how we're going to be able to make the case to people of why we should have more members, why we should be reelected. I mean, it's a job that's constantly changing. The attitudes of the suburbs, the collars, and downstate Illinois. Now, we know where downstate Illinois is, but in the suburbs, we know that the attitude changes, and people are. It's a different mindset. It's a different socioeconomic group, and you've got to be able to determine what exactly they're looking for.
We're speaking with Jim Durkin. He is the Illinois House Republican leader from Western Springs. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by Illinois House Republican leader Jim Durkin. Leader, how do you pick up seats?
Well, over the next month and a half, we're going to find out. We've been at this for a while, months, if not the past year, recruiting candidates that reflect the district. We have open seats in different areas of the state. We feel that our advantage is going to be in downstate Illinois, the Metro East area, but we also are competing in the suburbs and a few seats in the collar counties. I feel that we have an advantage. We are polling our districts regularly. We know we're playing defense in some areas, but we believe that we have a better opportunity on the on offense in a number of seats. Well, I think that our message has been very strong. It's been consistent. We think that the status quo that people have been frustrated with is what we're capitalizing on, and this is what helped us pick up four seats that last election, where Hillary Clinton won by 18 votes in Illinois. In a blue
18%.
State. 18%. That's right, 18%. A little difference between 18 points and 18%. So we were able to continue on with that, with our message on it, about people, again, they're able to distinguish between Washington and Springfield about what has happened in Illinois over the past many years under, the control of the House of Representatives, the Senate, under the Democrat control. And people get it. They understand it. And they are extremely frustrated with the Democrat leadership of Illinois, more so than any other aspect in state government.
One of the things I've been surprised at, and it's sometimes alluded to by Governor Rauner, but I'm surprised it isn't alluded to more often, and that's the importance of this governor's race in deciding the boundaries of legislative districts following the next census and what that means as far as Democrats having the opportunity, as they did in this under this current map, to draw those districts to favor Democrats, and that the election of a Republican governor would be the backstop to prevent that from happening. I just don't know that I hear this, and I know, you know, redistricting, this is, it's geeky kind of thing or whatever, but I think it's actually a pretty straightforward message.
It is, but I think that the stronger message is what, and this came out of the mouth of J.B. Pritzker right after the election, that I'm going to raise the current taxes on everybody on the flat rate, and then I'm going to change Illinois into an escalating tax system against all economic classes. And we can get into the weeds about what it means with the redistricting process, and some people get it, but by the time you articulate it and then you explain it, remember, you have an attention span that you have a limited amount of time in which you can explain a complicated process to people. But for us in the know, that is the most important aspect of this governor's race,
maybe
is to be able to draw the districts.
I was going to say, maybe it's being too much in the bubble, as it were.
I think it is. You know, you've got to find out what are the messages that people are going to hang on to. And they're going to hang on to what has happened.
Well, taxes are always going to be.
Taxes, and, you know, you've got one person, Pritzker, who's almost giddy about the fact that he's going to raise taxes. And he wants to change the tax code, but he won't have the courage to say exactly what the rates are. I mean, that's insane. He's just saying that I'm going to raise taxes against him and Bruce Rauner, but it's not the case. There's been a Democrat proposal that's been sitting out there for the past year that's going to tax the middle class, at higher rates.
That was never a realistic proposal.
It doesn't. You know what? They put it in. They introduced the bill, and that's the only thing you can reference back to.
I understand that, but also, it was never a realistic proposal. It was one basically done to outline, here's liabilities and here's receivables.
True, but the fact is the Democrats have never been shy about making mention of legislation that we've introduced over the past years as well. But the fact is, that is right there the most important aspect of this race, is what is Mr. Pritzker planning to do with the spending, which he wants to spend more, and he has no plan on addressing the pension systems, our business climate. All he wants to do is tax, and I think just wants to legalize marijuana. That's what I hear.
Well, how much of the fate of your members and your candidates is dependent upon the fate of the governor's race, in your estimation?
I think that we're running parallel tracks. Yes, we're working with the governor, as we have been over the past
years. I mean, he's heavily funding your
Absolutely.
Campaign.
No, he is funding because he believes in the House. He believes that what we've done over the past 3 years is important. We've done...
You're the barricade, as he said the other night.
We are. We are. I use this figure all the time, but we've stopped Mike Madigan 142 times in the House of Representatives over the past 3 years. And this is a man who's had plenary control over Springfield for decades and is not used to losing important votes. It's not just important votes, but just, you know, whether, you know, the big marquee ones. But we've done a very good job of stopping things, forcing compromise on major issues in the House of Representatives, because Mike Madigan can't get the votes on passing education reform. And we ran into the budget this year, which he knew he had to get a budget done because his members were not going to allow him to leave one that was balanced. And he brought the Republicans. We found out a way, and we negotiated, myself, Senate leader, and the four leaders negotiated a budget.
But to go back to the original question, when you say, you know, you're on parallel tracks with the governor, is his success... does the success of your organization and campaign, is that dependent upon him being successful and for re-election?
You know, I would hope so. And you know what, I can't make that.
I just mean
the governor's going to have success. He's polling's all over the place right now, and he's at the same place where he was at 4 years ago, as far as I'm concerned. I think the governor is. You know, I think he plays well in the suburbs. I really do. I think that the positions that he has been strong on, his position on business reform, is what people want to hear about, that he's taking on Mike Madigan. And people realize it and they respect that. So I can't say right now whether or not our success is going to be guided by the governor's success, but we are we're rowing in the same direction. We have different themes that our members have to run on, which the governor doesn't. You know, we have a difference of opinion on some matters, but at the end of the day, we've got a pretty good. Our approach towards these elections has been, we go through this on a weekly basis with the governor's staff. We have messages that we are unified on, other messages which members have to do, based on their districts, but we're very well coordinated, it's I can't make that decision at this moment, but I feel that we're in a good position to pick up seats against Mike Madigan, build on what we did the last cycle, and we're doing good work in the House of Representatives, and I think people are starting to realize that it's good to have somebody that's standing up to Mike Madigan, stopping him, and forcing things to be done in a negotiated manner.
That's Jim Durkin. He is the Illinois House Republican leader. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.